hanging out at the Twisted Oar right here on Lake Lanier Islands, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Somebody just walk in, we know?
Hey, man. It's Mike Bell and Carl Dukes sent me.
That's awesome.
Drop our name for that imaginary discount.
No doubt. Yeah. I love their shirts, too. The waiters right. and waitresses. They have shirts on that say, we know the owners, too. So I guess that's a phrase that's used quite often here. I know the owners. We know the owners, too.
We've got a lot of great sponsors, and we enjoy our time there. But, man, I really could see us really here on a Thursday or Friday again, you know, in the summer. Really cool. We could drink some beers, and we could stay on a houseboat. Anyway, great time here at the Twisted Oar. Great food, by the way. Full house. Join the party if you're getting off work, whether you're living up here, renting a house up here for the weekend, or get your boat up here. We'll be here till 6.
All right. We got to mention this before we get to our man, Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. We'll talk all things college football with him. Henry Ruggs was denied parole today, Mike, after nearly 5 years.
I thought he was getting out.
I did, too. After killing a woman in a car crash in Las Vegas.
Now, by the way, I'm not rooting for a guy who killed someone to get out early. We just thought he had done everything he was supposed to do by Nevada law as far as when you might get an early out from the prison system.
Yeah, look, he's been very remorseful in this whole ordeal. He was a 2020 first-round pick of the Raiders. And for those who don't remember, he was driving about 150 miles per hour, slammed into a vehicle. It killed a woman and her dog, okay? And Tina Tintor was 23 years old.
Oh.
So he got sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison.
Now, some would have said right there from the jump, Carl, you didn't handle yourself behind the wheel. Someone's life has lost you. That should be allowed 25 years. You know, or more.
Yeah.
I mean, I see both sides of it, you know.
But after 3 years, he would be potentially eligible for parole. And that's kind of where we are. So that came and went. And now it's been 5 years after the incident, and he gets denied parole today. So, Mike, he was, again, saying that there's not a day that I don't think about her or her family or the things that I've done. And the irony to all this is, and we're telling this story just quickly because some people thought he's still very young, that he could get out, you know, come back
and maybe have a career.
Yeah, and maybe still get
but again,
in the NFL.
I mean, look, actions have consequences. I understand. We've talked about it. I mean, it's just you're behind the wheel. You got to make better decisions, you know. And in this case, you know, it's her family probably feels pretty good about. I mean, there's no resolution. She's gone. But either way, it's a heartbreaking story. But you're right. I think there was a perception that somehow he was going to get back in the NFL, at least not anytime soon.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk some dogs. Mike Griffith is here from Dog Nation and the AJC.com. Mike, I want to get your thoughts on what everybody's talking about this week in college football, and that is Brandon Sorsby, the quarterback at Texas Tech. I want to know what your opinion is, and then what is the answer to this? Because everybody's acting like it's not that big of a deal. Mike and I have been saying all week, it's a huge deal if this kid is allowed to play.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, facets to this. I mean, first and foremost, if he plays, it shows that the NCAA doesn't have any enforcement over anything, even, like you said, it's the most serious rule, which, you know, puts the integrity of the game on the line. And I don't know of another sport on the planet where somebody acknowledges gambling, especially on their own team, that they're allowed to play. And I, of all sports and athletics, you think collegiate athletics would have the highest standard in. You know, they do have a zero tolerance policy, but if they can't enforce it, but what's even more amazing is the courtrooms in Texas and that there's people making a case for this, that there's
right.
an academic institution in Texas Tech that's trying to make a case for this and trying to equate it to, you know, other, you know, kids that have had, you know, domestic issues or, you know, drug issues or other issues that are, you know, you can rehabilitate for young people. Without the differences, not at the expense of the entire integrity of the game. That's what seems to be missing here. And the fact that there's judges, I mean, I guess we've all heard that, you know, not all judges are created equally, but boy, if
right.
this isn't a microcosm of our society being broken, I don't know what is.
Mike, I'm with you. I said to Carl the other day, it's like, what color is the sky in our world, man? I mean, you'd think there'd be some adults in the room and the next appellate, again, if the NCAA, which is they are appealing, the next group is the 7th Appellate Court of Texas. All 4 judges who may hear the court are Case, I should say, are all Texas Tech alumni. It's like, when does an adult say, no, you broke the cardinal rule of football? You actually did bet against your team. On one occasion, he bet against, he bet unders on passing yards, and he bet under on total points, you know, when it came to Indiana. And that's, in essence, betting against your team. And by the way, they've glossed over the fact that he's in recovery. Maybe he needs a year to get his head right.
Yeah.
It's almost like, look, we spent $5 million on this guy, and by God, we're getting him on the field, and circumstances be damned.
Well, and, you know, and at the root of it, you've got a $25 billion booster on the strings that used to get in his way in this world. And, you know, threatening to sue anybody that gets in his way. I mean, even if the Big 12, which, you know, they're a member school of that conference, even if the Big 12 rules against him, they say they're going to sue them too. So, I mean, this is as close to the need for an SMU death penalty as I've seen since, you know, SMU got put out of business. And that's, I kind of feel like that's where Texas Tech is headed right now. Now, the question is there any courtroom that has enough power where if the NCAA and the other schools were to say, no, we're not playing, is there a courtroom that can make that happen? I mean, how much power does a local state judge have to control all the collegiate football world?
It's a great point. It's Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, guys. AJC.com, as we are live at the Twisted Oar here on Dukes and Bell. What about the stance that Josh Brooks has taken, the AD at Georgia, who says, we're not scheduling anybody from Tech?
Well, it's historic, you know, because it's unprecedented. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And, you know, the fact that Josh was willing to be out there first, you know, talking to Tom Mars the other night about it, and, boy, Tom couldn't have been stronger. So, boy, this is what leadership looks like, you know, when somebody's willing to put themselves out there and, you know, really, you know, not easy to go against a $25 billion booster like Cody Campbell with that kind of power, knowing, and sure enough, he immediately took a pot shot at Georgia,
right,
on social media, which tells you everything you need to know about, you know, that guy's mentality. It's incredible. And this is what happens when the boosters have too much power, but this is where we're at because money is such a big part of the game. And now, you know, donations and NIL, is where the leverage and the power is at for all these schools, and so they have to answer to them. You know, my question is there anybody at Texas Tech that's, you know, feeling a little guilty and feeling a little bad and feeling a little bit ashamed of,
right,
of how their school is being portrayed and what this means to the whole Texas Tech name? I mean, it's one thing to be aggressive paying for players and trying to rebuild programs, but I think we can all appreciate that. But to do it by crossing, you know, this line of gambling and you know, trying to override an NCAA ban on, you know, something that's been consistent. It's not like, you know, this is an independent case. I mean, I personally know of schools that have had guys that have gambled on their own team. They're just gone. Like, they didn't fight it. They didn't try to go to court over it. They understood, hey, we're a member institution. These are the rules. So it's really, again, it's really, it just shows you how out of whack everything is. In a way, it's good. In a way, it's good that this is happening because it really crystallizes,
right, you know, how broken,
you know, how broken it is, and the need for some changes.
Yeah, Mike Griffith joins us, guys, from Dog Nation here on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline, live from Twisted Oars on the lake here at Lake Lanier. Mike, we were talking about it. Imagine if Georgia, because the perception is always, oh, the SEC, the college football factories. Nobody who's a booster at Georgia said, hey, let's find a lawyer somewhere in Georgia and let's get an injunction to stop Todd Gurley from being suspended, right? Or, you know, or A.J. Green when he celebrated the end zone. That was a bad call. Let's get an injunction against his suspension. Because there's common sense. There is no common sense. I mean, again, from government to politics, you said it. The world is off its rocker, and there's like there is no one to stop it unless, tell me about the College Football Playoff Committee. Could they have any say, or they just turn around and sue them if they said that Texas Tech's ineligible?
Yeah, this is like, you know, Iran blocking the Strait of Hormuz, right? Trying to get to, it kind of is. It's kind of like, everybody's going to play by our rules, right? Yeah, you wonder if the College Football Playoff Committee can do something about it because they're not governed by the NCAA, but I suppose they would be subject to a lawsuit too. And again, depending on where the lawsuit's filed, obviously if you file it in Lubbock, Texas, good luck, or And just because the appeals court had a four, Texas Tech law graduates, doesn't necessarily mean they would rule in favor of Texas Tech. The biggest problem is that appeal wouldn't be heard until after the season.
Right.
So
right.
Basically, you're counting on Texas Tech doing the quote-unquote right thing. And if their biggest booster is behind, basically the guy that's brought him back to prominence with his money, does Texas Tech really have a choice? Can they really walk away from that kind of money and that kind of representation, or are they too far gone now?
Mike, Rook, just a sidebar. I don't know. I'm asking because I don't know the answer. Could the NCAA, which is based in Indianapolis, find a courtroom in Indiana and supersede? We'll have a matching injunction? Say, we're the ruling body of this sport. I don't know what the precedent would be. I'm grasping at straws here.
Well, no, and, there's something to be said about that, too. Even if they were to get congressional oversight and be granted antitrust, that antitrust only applies at the federal level. And because these are unincorporated conferences, unincorporated NCAA, public schools are subject to, state-level court, not federal. So even if you were to get antitrust protection, you would need that to be at the federal level. And these are all cases that can be heard at the state level, and I don't think they're subject, to federal rules. So even if Congress were to step in, that doesn't necessarily solve it.
Mike, give us your thoughts on the Dogs in the College World Series, man. Where are you at here? Because I think this is their best opportunity to capture it all.
Oh, for sure. And, obviously they got a tough draw. They're playing the Texas team. A Texas program that's been to the World Series 39 times. Nobody else has been more than 25, and they're going up against a great pitcher that may be the number one pick in the draft. So, tough draw out of the gate, but, you're able to survive and win Saturday night. I think that, the kids are greased, and, Georgia's the betting favorite. I believe they're the highest remaining seed left in the tournament, so they're playing really well. They're healthy. They're confident. I think Georgia's in a really good place, but, there's no guarantee. Another tournament. Every tournament's a little bit different. The regional, the super regional, it's another weekend, and goodness knows if anybody knows how things can change in the playoffs, it's folks in Atlanta after all these years of the Braves.
Yep.
You ain't lying. Hope you enjoyed your vacation. Glad to have you back on, man, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll know a lot more about this. We're talking about the College World Series with the Dogs. And by the way, you can hear those games right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we're covering all of those games for you. So make sure you tune in. All right, man. Thank you so much, Mike Griffith. We appreciate you, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Mike Griffith, DogNationAJC.com. Mike, when we come back, though, we got to talk to our buddy Mark Raimondi.
Yeah, man. We have a developing story, as Carl likes to say. The Falcons making some roster moves. Not sure what it means for the right tackle position, or maybe it's more about a guy who apparently now is on the PUP list. The depth chart takes a hit with the Falcons in the middle of OTAs.